The first lesson is from the 9th chapter of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal on earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 25th Psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, every year, the first Sunday during Lent is when we talk about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And Matthew and Luke, they tell us this whole big story of what that looked like, but not Mark, right? Mark just gives us this teeny tiny little bit of information. In fact, in the 7 verses of our gospel reading today, Mark crams in the baptism of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee in 7 verses. It's almost just bullet points, just quick, brief, and very typical of Mark's style. So we don't get a lot of details. We don't have a lot to work with in this story. But that means it leaves lots of room for imagination. As we hear this brief description of Jesus being driven out into the wilderness and tempted by Satan, where he's with the wild beasts and served by the angels, we have room to imagine the struggle, the danger, the fear. Alone in the wilderness for 40 days, we have room to imagine Jesus praying, reciting scripture, praying the Psalms, maybe like the one we heard today, this psalm praying for God's help. We have room to imagine Jesus worn down and tired, almost giving up, almost losing hope, but then having the angels come and help him, strengthen him, and give him the assistance and the encouragement that he needed to keep going. We have room to imagine how the memory of his baptism that had just happened right before, the memory of the words from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." We can imagine how those words sustained Jesus, grounded him in who he was, and in God's love for him, and in his identity as a child of God. I love imagining all of that because I find it very comforting to think that Jesus struggled, that Jesus had an experience so relatable. I mean, not the wild beasts and the angels part, but the struggle part. The being worn down and overwhelmed, scared, tempted. All of those things that we go through as humans. I find it very comforting that God knows firsthand what that feels like. What it feels like to be struggling just to survive. As a metaphor, this wilderness story holds the experience of those moments when we're barely hanging on, when everything is a struggle and we need help. We need help just to get by. But Mark isn't really interested in that intimate, internal type of struggle. For Mark, this remains a cosmic battle. Which is why in the baptism story that leads up to this moment, the heavens are torn open. And just as the separation from heaven and earth is broken open, Satan is right there and ready to do battle with Jesus in the wilderness. And the forces of good are victorious. Jesus emerges from the wilderness, emerges from this battle triumphant, and ready to proclaim the good news. That's the cosmic battle for Mark, a battle of good versus evil. The power of God pitted against the forces of evil, and the goodness of God prevails. That's the story from Mark's perspective. But it's a hard one for me to relate to, this cosmic struggle between heavenly forces. But at the same time, it's a wonderful reminder that the gospel message is so much bigger than just my personal struggle. The good news is so much more than just God's intimate knowledge and love for us as individuals. It is that, don't get me wrong. The good news of God's love for us is huge. But it's also more than that, so much more, because it's good news for the entire world and for all of creation. Our Genesis reading reminds us of that, as we heard the part of the Noah story where God makes a covenant not just with Noah and not just with humanity, but with all of creation. And remember, John tells us that God so loved the world, and it's that love that led to the life and ministry of Jesus. So as hard as it is for me to relate to Mark's gospel with its cosmic understanding, it's a wonderful reminder that the good news of Jesus is so much bigger than any of us. It is for everyone, and it is for all creation. So the good news of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, it absolutely can sustain us in our own personal struggles. It reminds us that we too are grounded in our baptism, that we too have been named as children of God, and we can take that knowledge of who we are, of our identity as beloved children. We can take that with us to strengthen us and sustain us through whatever happens in our lives. We can take this story of Jesus being cared for by the angels as a reminder that we are all in need of care, especially when we're struggling. And so we can turn to one another. And in the love and support from the people in our lives, we can see the hand of God caring for us and sustaining us. And we can be angels for one another. We absolutely can hear the good news whenever we feel overwhelmed, that God knows what it's like to struggle, that God understands what we're going through, because God has struggled. And the good news is that God never leaves us alone in our struggle, but is always there with us, loving us, caring for us, providing for us, and sustaining us. All of that is true. But also, when we become overwhelmed by the evil that we see in the world, the hatred and the violence and the destruction, when we get overwhelmed by the much larger forces and the much larger struggles in our communities, in our nation, and in our world, we can trust in the good news of this cosmic story. The good news that God's goodness is more powerful than evil. We can trust in the promise that God's love is for us, and it is for all of creation. The good news that God's goodness has broken into our world and will not be stopped. The good news that God's love is more powerful than evil. Thanks be to God. Amen.